Well, all right. So we're just going to jump in. Sorry that you guys all sat down already. I actually would love to read this passage again, if you don't mind, with me, starting with John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. And again, I apologize. If you wouldn't mind standing up, that'd be great. If you don't, I mean, that's totally fine, too. So we're just going to say this again. So this is John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. And it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. I'm just going to pray. You can be seated. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how it speaks to us. And Lord, as we open it up and as we talk about it, would you just give us more revelation of who you are and what it looks like for us to follow you and to abide in you. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so just a little bit of a review. So yesterday we started off with looking at John 15, and we started off with the vine, the gardener, and the branches, and we were talking about the vine, and who is the vine? Come on, now a trick question. Who's the vine? All right, Jesus. Okay, so Jesus is the vine. And he calls us to remain in him. And I was talking about the fact that he says he's actually the true vine, and how that how before the vine was represented as Israel, and how they were picked out by God, called out by God to be his people, and he was going to bless them so that they could be a blessing to the nations. But how they didn't take that seriously. They didn't do the things that he called them to do. And so then Jesus comes on the scene, and he says, I'm the true vine. I'm the representation of God's relationship, God's relationship with his people, what it's supposed to look like. And so we talked about that, and we talked about the gardener, and who's the gardener? God the Father, and how he's intimately connected with the vine. He's the one who planted it, but he's also the one who tends it. He's the one who cuts off the branches that don't bear fruit, and he's the one who prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they can bear more fruit. About the branches, and I was saying, what's the job of the branches? And we all said the same thing. We would all say before that the branches' job is to bear fruit, but actually in the passage of scripture, it's not to bear fruit. It's to do what? To abide in him. And so I was asking you the question, well, what does it mean to abide in him? So I'm going to pose the question to you now. What does it mean to abide in him? So we're going to take like five minutes. Just look at your neighbor, look around, make eye contact with somebody that maybe you didn't necessarily come with. And I'd just like you to find maybe two or three people, and you can find them in your row or behind you, however you want to do it. And I'd just like to, for you to discuss that question. What does it mean to abide in him? So I'll give you 5 minutes, maybe something like that, and we'll come back together, okay? Does it sound good? All right, ready, go.
I do it.
All right. Sounds like some good discussion going on here. So I'm just dying to hear what you came up with. How are we going to solve this whole problem of what it means to abide? Okay, so anybody want to share some of their thoughts, like what are the things that maybe you talked about with your crew? Yes. Say it one more time. All right, follow. So follow Jesus, okay? Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? What does it mean to abide? Yes.
To make your home in.
Make your home. What do you mean?
Everything.
A part of everything. Yeah. All right. So abide, remaining. He's a part of everything. Anybody else? What else did you talk about? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so he said to follow him with everything you're doing and not just to do your own thing or to go off in your own space, right? What, yeah. Okay, so she said to do things with him and make him a priority in your life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Put him in front of everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep your heart intimately connected. I don't even have to do anything. We're done. We're like, yeah, anybody else? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so she mentioned tolerating, and so when you're in a season of being pruned, it's not, I mean, if you've ever been pruned before or you've had stuff, things cut back in your life, it's not really fun, and you're usually asking the question, why, God? Like, why would you do something like that? Or, you know, it kind of puts a little bit of a wedge in your relationship with them because you're trying to figure out what's going on, and it's, but staying with that and staying in that. So in a sense, there's a little bit of a trust thing with that, even though you don't always do that. Yes, sir? Yeah. So not letting things get stay in between us, but confessing our sins so that we can continue to remain in him. Anybody else have any thoughts about what? Yes, sir?
I looked up one of the definitions for a long
time. For a long time. Yeah, yeah. For like how long, you know? Like, well, how long is too long? Or, you know, yeah, continuing for a really long time. So there's some perseverance aspect of that as well. Anybody else have any thoughts? Yes, sir? Yeah. So abiding in him rather than the other things that maybe could pull us away from him. Anybody else have any thoughts? These are good thoughts. I love this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So turning your focus towards God, even though there's the pull of the world, right, on you. Yeah. Anybody else have any thoughts? I don't want to cut anybody off. This is great. All of it, yeah. Yeah. There's an investment. So there's some long suffering. There's some perseverance. There's some trust. And there's some, it's going to take time. Yeah. The world, there's so many things in our world that pull us, right? There's so many things in this world, and they may not even necessarily be bad things, but there's so many things that pull at our attention, right? I mean, if you open up your phone right now, I don't know if you've ever done this. I do this all the time. I'll be like, let's say somebody asked me to send them a text message. I open up my phone. I get my phone out. I open it up, or I unlock it with my face. And then some, you know, text message or email or something comes along, and I'm like, ooh, look at that. And then I forget what I'm doing, and I find something else. And then after 10 hours, like, I still haven't sent the text message, and then I just go to bed. You know, like, there's just so many things that pull at us. There's so many things that our world tells us, this is what you need to have, or this is what you need to be, or this is what you should be doing right now. Like, I should be on the other side of the world in Bora Bora right now with my toes in the sand, you know, drinking some water, coconut water with a beach ball, right? I've never been to Bora Bora before. I never even considered it, but now that it's on my phone and I can see it, I want it, and I got to have it right now, right? Yeah, I should be, according to my social media feed, I should be trading. I should have a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of nice cars, and I should be doing all this stuff, and if I don't do it right now, if I don't get in right now at $29.95, then I'm just going to miss out, right? There's so many things that pull at us, and that's just those things, but there's so many things that pull at us in our own flesh, right? There's so many things that pull at us saying that this is what we should be, or we're not doing enough, or we're not good enough at this, or we're too bad at that, or we're really good at this, and that person should recognize this. And, you know, there's things that pull at us in our flesh, too. So there's all these things pulling at us, trying to pull us apart from maybe ourselves, apart from our family, but also and probably ultimately from God and from who God says we are, what we say, or what he says we should be about, what he says we should be, what he says we should doing. So the question I asked is, what does it mean to abide? And I think we have to actually take a little bit of a step back here. So the question is, you know, what does it mean to abide? But I think a better question in order to figure this out is, what is God actually after? When he says, abide in me, when he says, remain in me, when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing, when he says that, what is he actually after? So let's even go back to Genesis. You have to turn there. I'm just going to walk you through this. When we were in the garden, when God was in the garden, and he was, you know, he made all the plants and the birds and everything like that, and then he's just like, you know, the Trinity, the Godhead was like, let us make man in our own image, and they formed man out of the dust of the clay. What was he after? What was God after? When God breathed into the man the breath of life, what was he after? He gave him a living soul. What was he after? When God took the rib out of the man and made woman, and you know, they became like, when he did that, what was he after? When they were walking around in the cool of the day with the Lord, and they were naming animals, and they were like, that's a mosquito, and you know, that's a platypus, and you know, that is a, I don't know what that is. We'll figure out a name. You know, when he was doing that, what was he after? And then ultimately, when God said to the man and the woman, you can eat whatever it is that you want, but that tree back there, just leave it alone. Just don't touch it. But they did, and something was broken. What was ultimately broken? And ultimately, what was he after? When God said to Abraham, when relationship or fellowship was broken with them, and they were kind of wandering around, and just, you know, sin just started to enter into the world, and just things just started to go south. But God saw this dude named Noah and was like, Noah, I want to keep you. I want to make a relationship with you if you'll follow me. And there's going to be this thing called rain, and I'm going to destroy the earth, but I'm going to keep a covenant or a fellowship or a relationship with you. Ultimately, what was he after? When God spoke to Abraham and said, hey, Abraham, I'm going to make you as mighty as the nations. I'm going to make you as your descendants as numerous as the sands of the sea. And I'm going to do these great things through you. I'm going to bless you so that you'll be a blessing to the nation. Ultimately, what was he after? When the Israelites they were in Egypt and they were in slavery for all those years, and then God all of a sudden spoke to Moses and said, hey, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people in Egypt, and I'm going to deliver them. What was he after? When God brought them out of Egypt into the wilderness, and he was with them, and he walked them, and he fought for them when there were nations that were bigger and more powerful than them, and he was with them, and he was in their midst, and he would tell them how they should have the camp put so that he would be in their midst. What was he after? When God revealed himself to Moses on top of the mountain, ultimately the people on top of the mountain, what was he after? When Jesus came to earth, God with us, named Emmanuel, God with us, what was he after? When Jesus was with his disciples and he said, I want you to follow me. I want you to do what I do. I want you to say what I say. I want you to be just like me. What was he after? When Jesus predicted his death, and he said, hey, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to give a gift to you so that you will know that I'm coming back to you. What was he after? And ultimately, when he died on the cross for the sins of all mankind so that people could be with him, what was he after? And then ultimately, as Jesus comes back, what is he after? And I think the word, in a sense, somebody said it, it's relationship. It's relationship. It's not even fruit. It's relationship. If you will, if you don't mind putting up John 15:9, I just want to show you a couple of things here. So it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. So ultimately, it's not even about the fruit, it's not about the things that you can do. It's about this friendship, this relationship where the God of the universe says to his people, hey, I don't just want you to be my servants. I want to reveal myself to you. I want to get to know you. I want you to know me. I want to be friends with you. That is a strange concept. I've got some friends But never have I don't know if you've ever met somebody famous. Usually famous people don't want to be our friends, right? You know, like we try to, you know, we want to get close to them. We want to know what they like to eat and what they do for fun and stuff. And we want to act like we're associated with them. But there's a God in heaven who says, hey, I don't just want you to do whatever I tell you so that you don't go to hell. I don't want you to do whatever I tell you just so that you can go to heaven. I don't want you to just do whatever I tell you to do just so that, you know, I don't punish you. He says, I want relationship. I want friendship. I want people. I want to be your, you to be my people, and I want to be your God. This idea of friendship is, I feel like I've heard that before. This is, you could turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. It's not going to be up on the screen, but so this is Exodus chapter 33, and Exodus is about the Israelites and they've escaped Egypt and they're in the wilderness and the Lord is doing something. So they're making their exodus or exit out of Egypt into the promised land that God had promised them. And he says in Exodus chapter 3, starting verse 7, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tabernacle, or other word for tabernacle is the tent of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle, or the tent of meeting. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Not talked to Moses, not spoke at Moses, but talked with Moses. Verse 10, all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped each man in his tent door. And verse 11 says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the temple. So you see this relationship where Moses was like, hopefully you read about it. Moses is like the ultimate like servant of God. Like he even says, he's like, I'm the most humble person that I know, you know. But he's like this ultimate servant of God. I mean, he was like, he would go up to the mountain and God would show him things and God would say, go tell this to the people. So he would go down the mountain and he would tell the people, this is what God says. And the people would be like, okay, well, tell God this. And Moses would go up the mountain and would say, God, people said this. And God would say, okay, Moses, tell them this. And he would go back to, I mean, this happened multiple times. And this man's like in his 80s. But you can't, if you read the story, you can't help but wonder or notice the fact that there was something else more going on. Moses wasn't just a servant of God. He was, as it says, a friend of God. He spoke to God face to face. And I can't help but wonder, isn't that what God purchased when he died on the cross? Isn't that what God longed for in the garden? Isn't that what God longed for from his people? Isn't that what God called us to? Isn't that what God is trying to do? I think somebody said it. The reason why God calls us to confess our sins, the reason why God calls us to do certain things is so that we can be in relationship, that we can be in fellowship. We can get this friendship thing going. We can abide with him. We can be with him. And he's done the biggest thing that you can do in order to get that relationship back in order. And that's ultimately to give up his life, so that we could have that fellowship, have that relationship, have that friendship. So in a word, this idea of abide is to not go anywhere else for the fellowship, to not look at any other place for fellowship with God, to not look to God any other place besides being with him, talking to him. Friends, I've grown up going to church my whole life, I don't know how many times I've accepted Jesus. I think I'm up to like 15 or 16. I'm not sure. I don't know what the score is or how that all works. But so I grew up and I knew a whole bunch of information about God. I could memorize all the passages of scripture. I'm a little older now, so it's a little bit more foggy. But I could do that. I did all that stuff. I was at church all the time and all that. But one thing that was missing from my life was I knew a bunch of information about God, but God was still like distant, like off over there somewhere doing his thing, whatever he was doing. And then I started going to actually Eastbrook Church with my um, with my mom. And I'll tell you that later. But I started going to Eastbrook Church with my mom, and I got involved in the youth group, and we went on this retreat. Actually, our first retreat was up here. That was my first time going to Fort Wilderness. So I started getting involved with the youth group, and then we had this mission trip to Mexico that I went on. And so it was great. I mean, there were some crazy things that happened. But one of the things that was most impactful to me was during a time of worship, kind of like what we were doing just now, for the very first time, I felt the presence of the Lord. Like for the very first time in all my life of knowing about God and knowing all this information and reading the Bible and going to church, this was the first time where God wasn't out there somewhere. God was here. God was with me, and he wanted to have a relationship with me. And so that was impactful for me. That was like a milestone place in my life. And so after I got out of Mexico, what I did was I took this word. I just started to get into God's word because I said, man, if this is who God is, if God isn't just far off, if God is near, if God is here with me, then I got to know this God. I got to know who he is. I want to know him. I want to know more about him. And so I just dug into this word, and I would just notice how people talk to the Lord, like Moses, you know, or like David says in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from my groaning? I cry out to you by day, but you don't answer by night, but I find no rest. And I just thought, well, this is a little bit different than how I'm used to, or this is a little bit different than how I was taught to relate to God. This is a little bit less formal and more raw and more real. Like, I could be honest with God about my feelings about different things. And so I would see these different relationships with the Lord, and I just said, hey, if this is what it looks like to know or follow God or grow deeper, then I'm going to do this. And so I started to relate to God this way, and I would tell him my feelings about just different things going on in my life, and I would get up in the morning, and I would talk to him, and I would sing with my guitar. I play guitar, and I would sing to him, and I would worship, and I would just talk to him, and the Lord met me in so many ways, in so many places, that I couldn't deny God existed. I think I said that right. I couldn't deny God's existence from anybody else. And every so often, even now, probably every 6 years or so, God takes me through these like forks in the road where I go, well, I could follow Jesus for a couple more years, or I could just go to do this. And I mean, sometimes I'm like, well, maybe. But for the most part, it's always like, I've seen so much of the Lord, I can't go back. And folks, that's, I think, what he wants with each and every single one of us. Conversation, relationship, not going anywhere else. He longs to have relationship with us. If you'll turn over to Matthew chapter 7, this is one of the most striking passages of scripture, but it's probably the one that really got me. This is Matthew chapter 7, starting verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, this is Jesus talking, he's talking in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but whoever does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, in your name? And then I will declare to them, depart from me, I never knew you. I remember reading that passage and going, wait a minute. He just said to, like, believers, I mean, he's talking to believers, he just said, like, you can bear fruit. You can do the right. I mean, if I saw a church where they were prophesying and driving out demons and doing mighty miracles, I would probably want to, like, go to that church, right? Like, I probably would want to, at least I'd want to see it at the very least. He says you could be doing all that stuff. You can go to church. You can be part of the youth group, be part of the worship team, be part of the ministry team, be part of all, you can do all that stuff. But the thing that might be missing is that you might not know him. That's his invitation. That's a great invitation. That the God of heaven, the God of the universe, the God above all things wants to know you and wants you to know him. That's a great invitation. And that's what he calls us to. And that's what it looks like to abide, is to know him more. But you can do all the things and completely not know him. I don't want to get to that day. I'm standing before the Lord and I say, well, I did this and I did that and I did all that stuff. And he says to me, who are you? Folks, this idea of abiding is about knowing more of him. So the simple question is, Do you know him? Not just information. I'm not just talking about, did you read your Bible today? I'm saying, did you take this word that shows us about who he is, and did you have a conversation with him about it? I don't know if you, I mean, you read this before. There's a bunch of things. This gives me so many questions, and I think what he wants us to do is take what his word says and turn it into a conversation with him, because that's where he reveals himself to us and changes us from the inside out. So the simple question is, do you know him? Do you know him more this year than you knew last year? Are you seeking to know more of him? Because his invitation is, hey, there is more, and I want to show you more. And as time goes on, I want to show you more and show you more. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your invitation to know you. I thank you that you're a God that reveals yourself to us, that you've been doing it since the beginning of time. And the longing of your heart is for us to be in fellowship with you, to not go anywhere else, but to look to you. So, Lord, I just pray for each and every single one of us, whether we're busy to the, or we've got just tons of things to do, or we don't have anything to do, God, that you would stir up this desire and this hunger, like Paul says, to know you. To know you in the, just to know you more. So Father, as we just leave this place, Lord, I just pray that that question would be on our hearts. Do we know you? Are we taking steps to know you more? Is that what we're asking you? Lord, reveal more of yourself to me. Lord, show me more about who you are. And you just pray this in your son's name. Amen. If you're here and you're like in this place where you're like, hey, I don't know Jesus, I just want to invite you. I mean, you can come talk to me. You can talk to some of the people that you came with. You can talk to Craig or some of the Ford staff. We would love to share more. We'd love to talk more about that. But if you're in this place where you're like, hey, I want to know Jesus more, we'd love to talk to you. So, Beth, thank you.